We heard from the listeners yesterday. Here's a text that represents some of the messages we got after our chat or attempted chat with Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine. Bob, I worry when Joseph's reports don't work well. So grateful for his reporting. I think the Russians are starting to jam you, Joe. How are you today? What's going on?
Hey, Bob. Glad we can talk, at least for now. Hello from Lviv. It is worrying in two different ways. One, I mean, for example, yesterday I had great internet access all day before we spoke, and then right after we spoke. Only during sort of that 15-minute window did all of my internet options stop. And I, in addition to my Wi-Fi, I have two different routers, and I carry multiple cell phones, each one with a different network, so I can always be connected. And nothing was working. So that is very bizarre, maybe to be expected in wartime. But on a deeper level, the infrastructure problems throughout Ukraine are very difficult. You know, when on that attack, the Russian attack on Kyiv on Monday, I mean, not only did they hit the children's hospital in what seemed to be very targeted and precise attack, but they also hit three power substations in Kyiv. They are destroying Ukraine's energy system and communication systems very precisely. And this is a it's very heavy here because I think for most people, the power outages are expected throughout the day. It's tolerable in the summertime, but there's a wide sense that in the winter there could even be weeks without power. And so this is, I think that as everyone looks at what's happening at the NATO summit in Washington and the words that are being repeated as they have been for 2.5 years, there's a strong feeling that things could actually fall apart and that the West is still not serious about sending the tools that Ukraine needs, including these F-16s. I mean, there's zero indication that the F-16s might be on the way. And so I would say the situation is looking extremely bleak, despite a lot of these self-congratulatory talk at the NATO summit.
I'm hearing more worry and pessimism in your voice, Joseph, and that's concerning. Also, isn't it a little suspicious that your communications go out during the time we have here to chat and then they come back again? And it's okay before you go on the air as well?
It's incredibly suspicious, and it's happened multiple times now. And I've talked to people here about it. People, of course, are not surprised. Bob, you and I in this broadcast, we're the only ones that have done this every single day for 2.5 years. A lot of people come and go as the news cycle changes. And so, maybe that's part of it. And I got to keep trying to get more options to always stay connected. But if we look at the possibility of, as it turns into fall and winter, maybe even weeks without power. That's a real possibility. And if you look at today in the New York Times, Jake Sullivan, National Security Advisor, had a glowing piece about how strong NATO is and listing all the great things that have been achieved, including the fact that, other nations have come into NATO or that the European countries are spending more than they had been in recent years on their defense budgets. But he sort of leaves out the underlying reason, the reason why people are trying to get into NATO, why European countries are spending more in defense, is because they're scared. They're scared of what Russia might do. And this is what they say pretty openly. Mm-hmm. And so it's a very triumphal sort of he writes this as sort of a triumph. But it's, I think for everyone here, it doesn't feel so triumphant, especially if you look at that hospital attack. And as I look at, what Russian propaganda does, I think that, why did they attack a children's hospital with the spotlight was on them? Right now, Russia is the chairman of the United Nations Security Council. Astoundingly, there were incredible scenes at the UN in New York yesterday of Russia leading the discussion of the Security Council with many ambassadors, including Ukraine's ambassador, decrying Russia. Russia even said that they really didn't want Ukraine to speak, but they would let them do so. It's crazy optics. And while Russia is the chairman of the Security Council and with the spotlight on the NATO summit, why would Russia attack a kids' camp cancer hospital. And again, you know, we've seen all the videos and how precise that attack was. And I don't think it was an accident. I think it's very likely that they know that, that this can scare those leaders in the West, scare them into hoping that there'll be some kind of negotiation. And even if you see John Kirby, Pentagon spokesman for the Biden administration, he was asked by a reporter, in the wake of that hospital attack, will the United States give new permission for Ukraine to hit the Russian bases deep within Russia from which the bombers take off? And Kirby's response, I encourage people to look it up, was very chilling. He said, no, we already gave permission for Ukrainians to hit Russians immediately across the border. So he didn't even answer the question. So Ukrainians are still only able to hit Russian targets near the border, but they cannot touch the Russian air bases with any American tools, no matter which country donates them, deep within Russia. And so until that changes, we're going to see attacks like we saw on Monday, because those Russian air bases are in this America-created safety zone. And this is why I think this is why my mood is darkened, but my mood here reflects what I see and what I hear all around me here in Ukraine.
You tell so much, and we talk about the great spirit of the Ukrainian people. Do you find, as you're out and about there, as you are, Joseph, that others are in this more pessimistic mood these days?
Yeah, I would say even the sense of bewilderment. Like, you know, how is this real? How did it come to this? Especially after, you know, the first 2 years, you know, the global outpouring of support from the people, you know, people going to demonstrations, Hollywood celebrities, people coming here to help. And then for what now? You know, the tools still aren't arriving. You know, only 3 Patriot missile systems in 2.5 years, although President Biden did say a few more would be on the way. But you need dozens to protect it. And so it still seems that there's a fear of pushing Russia too far. But I think that misses every time Ukraine has a great success, whether it's in the Black Sea or Crimea or protecting Kharkiv, for example. The Russians get quiet for a month or two. They have to regroup. And so many windows like that are lost. So, yeah, I think as soon as we get off the broadcast today, I'm catching a train to travel the country. So in the coming days, I can give you a better sense of what people are saying, not just here in Lviv, but throughout Ukraine.
Well, we will hope for better days and better news. Joseph, keep the faith. At least the Russians let us talk to you today.
Yeah, thank you so much, Moscow.
Until tomorrow. Thank you very much.
Until tomorrow. All right, I run to the train. Thanks, Bob.
Be safe.